Welcome to the Ridley College Podcast. In 2024, we are pleased to be expanding our podcast with more regular episodes and a broader range of conversations. Here, you'll find public lectures, stories from our students and faculty, and insights from leading experts on the Bible, theology, and ministry. Hello, and welcome back to the Ridley College Podcast. I'm Hannah Craven, and in today's episode, we're hearing from our students. These interviews come to you from our launch camp on the 2nd of March 2024. First, I sat down with a group of students and had a bit of a chat, and here's our conversation.
My name is Rachel. I live in the northern suburbs, and I work at my church doing kids and youth ministry as well as a secondary teacher part-time. What brought me to Ridley was I wanted to be better equipped for the ministry that I'm doing and to discern exactly, where God's calling me into the future.
My name is James. I live in the CBD. I work in schools with students with a faith-based sex ed organization. And something that the reason why I think I'm at Ridley is because I feel like 2024, God is wanting to lay some more foundations in my life regarding what he teaches in his word and about who he is.
My name is Han Shen. I live in Melbourne. I'm a full-time student. I think what brought me to Ridley was God teaching me to grow and depend upon him, to be empowered to do his word. And to learn in the spiritual formations that would help me in the future ministry, whether it's in children's or in youth work or even in other sort of adult ministries, and just growing and learning how to depend upon him day to day and moment by moment is something that I've been taught daily.
My name is Matt. I live in Glen Waverley. I'm a full-time Ridley student. What brought me to Ridley is that I would like to do some kind of gospel ministry after study, and so I think studying at Ridley will help to equip me for whatever that turns out to be.
My name is Sujita. I live in Brunswick. I work as a medical receptionist in a speech pathology. I came to Ridley as I was serving as a youth leader at my local church. Something I think the Lord is teaching me is patience and perseverance in him.
My name is Jesse. I live in Scoresby and I work as a software engineer in Commonwealth Bank. And what brought me to Ridley, I'm probably hearing about it from friends in Christian Union at Monash and also through my parents. My mom was a mission rep there, and I also wanted to prepare myself for potential future mission, and I thought Ridley was a great way to do that, to grow my love and knowledge for the word.
My name is Sam. I live in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne and I work as a local government traffic engineer. What brought me to Ridley is that I want to be growing in my own love and relationship with Jesus, and I have a sense that he's calling me into pastoral ministry, so I'm seeking to discern that.
My name is Peter. I live in Melbourne. I work in the education field, teaching four-year-olds. And what's brought me to Ridley is God has closed a number of other doors, and this is a way for me to further my knowledge in terms of teaching the Bible, two-way Bible study, and service leading.
You've turned up to launch camp as a new student. First impressions of Ridley College?
I've learnt that Ridley students don't take themselves too seriously. I've learnt that board games are an essential part of the community, and not to tell people too loudly that I don't drink coffee.
I think I've learnt that it is a community, so like much more than a place you just study at. I've learnt it's pretty intentional and that people really like the Bible. Or like to talk about it, yeah.
I've learnt that the culture and people at Ridley are very focused on the gospel, and that's really central to how ministry is viewed and taught, and that's really, I think, a really good thing.
Warm, very generous, and I can see God moved everyone's life in one way or the other.
For me, it's a beautiful and holistic experience of people who are serious about the truth and about academic learning, of people who are invested in the personal transformation in our lives with Jesus, and of people who are hungry for community together.
For me, it's a warmth and a generosity and a desire from staff and everyone to see people growing in their knowledge and love of God so that they can either use it for themselves or teach or train others, regardless of whether they go into paid ministry or are just doing it to give themselves a greater handle on what the Bible says and what the Bible means for people living in 21st century world, eastern suburbs, Melbourne, Australia, wherever they've come from.
All right. Favourite faculty member so far?
I think the correct answer is you, Hannah.
Definitely Andy, I think.
Mike Bird.
Reese.
I would say Reese. I'm just so impressed by his enthusiasm in history and the way he dig all the history of even Ridley and how he's interested in the subject that he is in. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to learn more from him.
Maybe Andrew. I think it was quite fun to play board games with him yesterday night, and he had some very witty comments and, yeah, very interesting character.
It's hard for me to go past the explosively eccentric humour of Mike Bird.
Seeing as there are multiple people that work at Ridley that are at my church, I'm going to choose not to answer this question so as not to cause any division or dissension or conversations or arguments as to who is James and who is John in terms of the Ridley academics.
Yeah. Very judicious. It's a good breadth there. Okay. What's one question about the Bible or about God that you would like to answer by the time you've finished your study at Ridley College?
What was God really doing pre-creating the cosmos?
I guess one thing I'd like to explore, one question that I'd like to be able to answer is, I guess, looking at the role of spiritual gifts and how they can be used to build up the church.
Maybe a better... This isn't really a question. A better understanding of different ideas of church structure and church leadership and that kind of thing, and then what I think is most biblical, or just trying to land that, what church should look like.
One big question I have, and hoping that my journey in Ridley could help me better process, is probably what is God's calling in my life, or where could I best be suited to serve God? Still thinking about the what and the how of what that looks like. So I'm hoping through Ridley, maybe with talking with people or different mission agencies, building relationships, that will be something I have a better idea or direction on.
This probably won't make the podcast, but I have a whole bunch of questions that will either be answered when you get to heaven because it won't matter, or they're in the frequently asked questions book that one of the apostles gives you when you get in. But why did they pray about who they should choose to be the new apostle, and then cast rocks?
My question to God would be, he came to save everyone, and that will include everyone on earth. So how will that happen? How does that fit, and how I can be equipped?
In the next part of this episode, I interview two of our students, Lachlan and Sarah, and I've asked them to share with us about their study journey and ministry.
My name is Lachlan. I live in Melbourne in the CBD, and I work, I'm studying full-time actually, but I do work part-time at my church as a ministry assistant just one day a week, which means I do lots of things at my church. and I also serve at Ridley College as the chapel music coordinator. The way that God has led me to Ridley is it started because I'm from Sydney, and I wound up moving to Melbourne to study at Ridley. But what started that was a good friend of mine was planting a church in Melbourne, and I decided, after lots of thought and prayer, I decided to that I wanted to move down to Melbourne and help be part of this church plant and help make the church happen. But then I was thinking, well, what would I do outside of Sundays at in Melbourne? And I've for a long time wanted to study theology, and I started thinking, well, I think now might be the time. And I was doing other things in Sydney. I was pursuing music and doing other non-ministry things, and for lots of reasons, it just looked like it was the time for me to start moving more towards ministry in some capacity. And I've felt called to some sort of ministry someday for a long time, but didn't know what that would look like. And so the fact that this church plant was happening provoked me to start thinking about Melbourne. And then I had heard about Ridley College and heard great things about it. And when I looked further into Ridley College, it didn't stop looking great. It only confirmed my assumptions about it being a place that would fit me really well. Basically, during my degree, I am thinking about what ministry looks like for my future. And as I said, I do feel called in some way to ministry, but I still have not quite worked out exactly what that looks like, because I'm interested in church ministry, but also interested in academia, and kind of using throughout this degree, I'm sort of sussing out whether or not I would be well suited to academia. But even if I do, you know, pursue PhD and go down that path, I think I would probably like to go full-time at my current church after my degree, because I think ministry experience is good for being a good theologian or Bible scholar. I find Ridley to be, there's probably many special things, but to me, it's a really ecumenical community that gathers lots of people from different denominations and backgrounds. And I find it, for me, it's a place where I was first attracted by just the academic rigor. You get that. I feel very academically challenged and I'm able to learn lots. But in a culture that is always reminding me and challenging me to keep the main thing, and to think about it all in terms of my personal relationship with God, and where we can have lots of discussions from share different perspectives and people. It feels like a really safe place to share your perspective without feeling like you have to toe the party line or agree on everything. It's great being a Pentecostal at Ridley College. And I have a couple, there's some Pentecostal friends I have at Ridley College, which is really cool. Obviously there are some things that are not how I do things at my church. So chapel looks quite different, worship looks quite different. But that is actually beneficial to me, because I get a more breadth of exposure to Christian traditions. But I genuinely find it a place that is very welcoming to me. With having I probably have some different perspectives and different traditions to maybe the majority at college, but I feel valued and welcomed, and I've actually never felt that I was unable to kind of yeah, be myself. And no one's paying me to say that.
My name is Sarah Coe. I live in Baker Flats at Ridley College, and I work currently as a student placement at St Albans Marybeck and as a verger at St Paul's Cathedral. I came to Ridley because I've been wanting to come to Bible College since I was a teenager, but I just couldn't think of a reason why. And I knew that I wanted to do something more than a diploma as well. I knew I wanted to do a degree. I just couldn't think of a reason why. So I was working as a proofreader at one stage and thinking about extending my skills and studying a degree. But would I do editing? Would I do linguistics? And then I thought, here's my opportunity. Whatever I want to do, I know I want to do it in a Christian sphere. So Christian publishing or Bible translation or something. So here's my excuse. While I figure out, do I do editing? Do I do linguistics? I'll go to Bible College. So I looked around at the opportunities around me and I thought, well, I'm living in Western Australia. I would like to travel a bit, see more of Australia, go to the big cities, Sydney, Melbourne. And I thought Sydney will be too hot, so Melbourne sounded better. And I was chatting to my church in Albany and saying, like, where do you recommend I should go? And my women's ministry leader knew people who had been studying at Ridley and said, why don't you go to Ridley? So I thought, okay, where's that? And I looked up Ridley in terms of location. It was perfect, you know, close to the city, public transport. There was accommodation offered on site. So someone coming from over state, not knowing anyone, that seemed perfect. And the college itself looked really good. I was looking at a bunch of Bible colleges and it was like really hard to choose between them, but Ridley won out for a few of those factors. And yeah, so I came over to Ridley in the summer of 2021 and I've been here ever since, been 4 years now. I was attending a Baptist church and I had no intention of leaving a denomination. I was wanting to explore different churches, different traditions, but I was thinking more of visiting Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, just I wasn't thinking Anglican. And I remember in my first year at Ridley, I began to think about that God might be calling me to the Anglican Church. And at first I thought, no, it's just because I'm in an Anglican college. This will pass. I will just enjoy the traditions, the things I'm learning about Anglicanism while I'm here. I will not make any sudden decisions. I mean, it took me about 7 years to sign up as a member at my Baptist church, so I'm not about to rush and change churches. But it was like that idea didn't let go, and in fact it started building. I attended an ordination of Ridley students, friends I knew, and I just longed to be up there making those vows with them. And I thought, uh-oh. And about the same time, I began to feel this pressure. Like I was only in my first few weeks of second semester in my second year, and I was not planning to make any ministry decisions at this stage. And I felt that God was saying, you need to start choosing your electives now. What? I don't understand why. But it got to the point where I ended up one Saturday morning in the library, just ended up bursting into tears and saying, Lord, do you want me to preach? What do you want me to do? And over time, that it developed into a clear call to ordination. And I said to God, well, I refuse to make any changes to my denomination. I refuse to make any changes to pursue any kind of ministry as a women's leader, particularly as a woman coming from my background, until I can be absolutely certain, Lord, that this is what you're calling me to do. I don't want to move without a clear, absolutely clear calling from you. And I got my request. One weekend, I decided to email Rhys just for information about ordination. That was all it was, just inquiring. Could you, you know, tell me a little about it? Send me some information, please. And oh my goodness, after that, I sent that email the whole weekend. I wanted to take that email back. I wanted to say, I'm so, so sorry. Rhys, I never meant to ask you. I take that back. And it was so strange because at the same time, there was this conviction that if I did not go forward, I was stepping out of God's will. And I did not quite know what that might mean, but it was sort of felt a bit of impending doom that I was stepping out of God's will for me. I was disobeying God. And so I wrestled for a good 6 months, and then I started accepting the idea, okay, Lord, well, I look at the ordination information and I see that the church needs to be involved in the decision. I see that there are examining chaplains and bishops involved in the decision. So I will go through the ordination process. I will say yes to this, and maybe the church will say no. So that was my way of getting around it, but I wasn't fully committed. Towards the end of 2022, God led me very directly to a student placement, and that was fun in itself because I turned up to the lunch hour and I had no idea where any of these parishes were, so I just chose a table at random, sat down, and I ended up next to the vicar of Banyul, and she's talking about the student placement on offer. And on the one hand, I already had an idea of the things I wanted from a student placement, and it was ideal on paper, but it was such a crazy reaction. I wanted to get up, jump up, say, shut up, don't anyone else listen to her, take me, don't give it to anybody else. And I thought, oh, this is weird, sit tight, I will eat my lunch, I will be practical, I will not jump into something like this. And so I sat down, kept my mouth shut, tried to think sensibly about it, decided I didn't need to make a decision in a rush. If it was God really wanted this for me, then it would still be waiting for me. And I took it to prayer meeting, and I couldn't think of any reason why not. But I was a bit worried about this urge. Anyway, last week of semester, I walked into the dining hall, and by that point I'd talked to a number of ministers about placements, and none of them clicked. I knew none of them were right for me. So I was fed up and tired. It was the end of semester, and I just wanted to sit with friends and then go and study. And I picked a table and didn't realize who I was sitting next to until I sat down and turned to my right, and there was the vicar. And she recognized me, so she turned to other students and spoke to them. And again, I wanted to get up and say, no, shut up, take me, don't anybody else listen to her. And I thought, okay, fine. I have thought about this, I have prayed about this. This does seem to be a sensible decision. I will approach her, I will email her later on. That was my thinking. After maybe 5-10 minutes, I couldn't take it anymore. I took her business card, wrote my name, email, phone number. I did not say shut up. I just wrote, take me. So that was how I ended up with a student placement, but I still wasn't committed to the idea yet. It wasn't until the next year, I think maybe March, where I was reading in the Gospel of Matthew where Peter was walking on water and he was sinking. And Jesus chided him for his lack of faith. And I felt then that God was saying to me, whether that was the point of the gospel, I don't know, but God was saying to me that I'm feeling unstable and anxious because I'm not yet committed. I'm not yet saying yes wholeheartedly to God. I'm not yet accepting what he's got for me. And so that's when I finally said, yes, Lord, no ifs, buts and maybes. I will go for this.
For the final part of today's episode, we'd like to share with you the prayers that we prayed as we finished our time together. These prayers are led by various members of our faculty and commissioned Ridley students serving across a range of ministries.
Holy and loving God, thank you for the vision of people from all tongues, tribes, and nations gathered around your throne to give you glory and praise. And we long for that day. Thank you for the Ridley students who are taking steps in faith to explore and follow your call to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, who are considering leaving home and language to cross cultures to partner with you in your global mission. Would you teach them to pray, deepening their dependence upon you, Lord, and helping them to walk in your grace? Teach them to faithfully pray for themselves and others, patiently trusting that you produce the fruit and you can build your church. Would you teach them to love, giving them your love for those around them? Help them to be curious, observant, lifelong learners. With your love, help them to be humble listeners, to put aside assumptions, and to grow in understanding others. Would you teach them to read and obey the Bible and use your living word in their life and ministry, trusting that you speak, shape, and transform lives as we hear and respond to your word? Would you teach them to humbly and generously work in a team, partnering with others in the gospel? Equip them to serve and be served alongside people different to them. Grant them gifts that are needed to build your church and bring you glory. Would you teach them to be wise and generous with the good gifts that you give? Help them not to let desire for comfort and material goods rule their life and decisions, but keep their eyes fixed on Jesus and his kingdom, willing to wholeheartedly live for him and his glory. Through their studies and time at Ridley, Lord, would you guard, guide, and shape them, helping them trust you with the unknowns and being faithful with their responsibilities and service. God of love, whose will it is that everyone should be saved, please raise up more people in your worldwide church to pray and to work, to care and to understand, to give to you and to go for you, that your church may grow, your will be done, your kingdom come, and your glory be revealed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Lord, you are a God who speaks and calls. Your mission, your gospel, is your initiative. Those who participate in it, Lord, are called by you and have heard your voice. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of our students at Ridley who have heard your voice and heard your call to serve you as leaders in your church. We're thankful for those who are training for ordination in the Anglican Church and part of our Anglican Institute. We're thankful for those who are training for work in other denominations and other churches in our city and our country. We're thankful for those who are exploring that call, uncertain perhaps still about hearing your voice, anxious perhaps about the challenges, nervous about their own abilities. Lord, would you help us to recognize your voice? Lord, would you grow us in our ability to hear you amongst all the other voices? And Lord, would you speak and would you call? We trust in you to raise up those that you choose to serve in your church. Lord, it's you who sends, it's you who plans, and it's you who rules over your church in our city. For our denominations, for our organizations, for our institutions, and all those who lead them, work in them, to make decisions, to send and to place, to approve or not approve, Lord, we ask for your hand over their work, for your wisdom in their decision-making, for your priorities in their planning. Lord, would our churches, our structures, our denominations, our systems, our organizations be places which are honoring to you, places which are on about your work, your gospel, serving our world. And Lord, would you bring about that culture in those places? Lord, would you bring about that culture in this place and change us in ways that we need to be changed? God, for those who work in our churches, it's you who equips and gifts. And Lord, we trust in you to do so. We do not trust in our own abilities, in our own strengths, in our own wisdom, in our own knowledge, in our own brains, or ability to convince or perform, but Lord, we trust in your equipping and your gifting. For those you're raising up, Lord, we ask you to equip them with all that they need to do your work. Lord, would you teach them what they need to know? Would you transform their hearts and their characters that they might live lives that are worthy of the gospel? Lord, would you grow faith and trust in you that lasts a lifetime? Lord, would you gift them with the gifts that they need to do the work that you have called them to? Lord, it's you who sustains us. It's you who strengthens us when we face challenges, when we meet opposition, and when we meet obstacles. And so we trust in you for the future of our church and the future of those that we send from here. Lord, would you continue to form people who can resist sin, people who can work with courage, people who will work in partnership, people who will work in humility and service, people who will grow in Christ-likeness their whole lives through. Lord, would you strengthen and sustain all those you call? And finally, God, we trust in you to keep us, that you will keep us to the end. We do not know what the future of our church looks like in this city, and sometimes it feels hard to know what our ministries might be, what the place might be for us, even as we feel called to that work. But Lord, we know that you know. We ask that all those that you call, Lord, that you would keep. We entrust them to your care. We ask that you keep them safe in your hands, in your love and in your faithfulness their whole lives through. Amen.
God, our great and gentle shepherd, we pray for our students as they come to sit at your feet and listen to you teach. It is a joy and privilege to be able to study in freedom and with great resources, but we know that theological study is not without cost, and so we ask for your blessing, provision, and protection for our Ridley students. Father God, bless these students with supportive churches and church leaders to be good models of spiritual leadership and to provide opportunities for our students to develop ministry skills without overburdening them. Father, establish firm spiritual friends for our students to cheer them on in their course and to act as safe sounding boards for the new ideas about you which they will encounter during study. May these friends and communities be prayerful on behalf of our students. Generous giver, for students experiencing financial pressure because of study, we ask that your provision will be evident in their situations. In your power and through your people, we ask you to meet their needs and increase their trust as they see your faithful provision for them. God of the nations, for our international students and those who are awaiting visas, we pray for peace in the waiting, for smooth processes, and for energy and discipline to manage the full-time study load. Give them sufficient, timely, and generous support from their communities, and may we, the church, be good family to those students who are studying away from their own families. God of light, for students who are finding academics challenging, we ask for your illumination. Give them clarity in their learning. Give them confidence to seek support, discipline to apply themselves. And when study feels difficult or disappointing, may you give them a deep sense of your joy in their pursuit of you, which helps them to persevere. Sovereign sustainer, for students facing family and community pressures and the pressures of their own expectations, we ask for your wisdom so that they know when and how to give time to others, where to put boundaries in place, and when to rest. Victorious Christ, for all our students, we pray for your protection against those powers and principalities which war against you and against your kingdom. Protect these students in spirit and body from the attacks of the evil one who seeks to distract and destroy. Strengthen our students physically, mentally, and spiritually to face the challenges of theological study and guard them against the pitfalls of pride and power which so often accompany knowledge, leadership, and ministry. Teach us humility, Lord Jesus. For these trials of study, we ask for your intervention and protection, and that by your Holy Spirit, you will hold these students firm in their course and in your footsteps for the sake of your name. Amen.
Now, Lord and God, source of wisdom, we pray for those who are training for leadership in parachurch teaching ministries and in academic contexts, in various forms of speaking and in writing. We praise you that Ridley is confident and competent to train its own future faculty, as well as to provide teachers to other colleges such as Whitley, Trinity, MST, BCSA, SMBC, and beyond, both in Australia and even around your world. Would you continue to raise up these thought leaders through many institutions? Would you continue to empower those who are studying at Ridley to grow in both knowledge and character, in aptitude and attitude, in competence and confidence, in individual accomplishments and in teamwork? Make them humble in their fallible thinking and yet willing to hold orthodox beliefs when these are defensible. Would you shape their characters at college and at church and at home and in the community so that their life experiences and their interactions with so many different people will shape the way they express and apply their thinking? Craft them to be godly in character and in service, wise in Christian living, other person focused in their allocation of energy and time, and thoughtful and prayerful in their compliance with the expectations of society and governments and educational policies. In all these spheres of living and thinking, grant them to be shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. As you raise these trainers and teachers with God-honoring characters and competences, We ask that you would give them special skills in being able to shape yet future generations of trainers and teachers. Grant them the book smarts and the street smarts to communicate your words to your world and to equip and enthuse others to do the same. Please keep parachurch and theological institutions financially healthy, academically capable, and spiritually safe for deep reflection and engagement with the Bible and with 21st century humanity, to the glory of you, our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.
Our Lord and God, our King and our ruler, we want to acknowledge your call to all of us to come and follow you, to serve you, to obey you. And we recognise that that call to follow you is for everyone. Some of us are called into a church or Christian ministry. Many of us are called to be your people wherever we are. Lord, we know that your message is a message and a gospel for all people, in all professions, in all places, in all situations. And so, Lord, we ask that each of us here and the wider church will be faithful in following you in all that we do, that we'll consider everything we do an opportunity to demonstrate our love for you, to be able to share our love for you with others, and to be able to honour you in all that we do. Lord, we thank you that you've given us various gifts and skills. And we pray that we and your wider church will honour you by the way we use those gifts and skills, whatever they may be. We're encouraged by reading in the Old Testament about the skilled craftspeople who built the beautiful things in your temple, the skilled musicians who honoured you in their singing, the people who were thrust into positions of power and influence even though they didn't really want to do it, people like Esther, Daniel, Joseph, who then through their faithfulness changed nations. So Lord, we ask for each of us and for the wider church that you will help us to discern where you may be leading us, whether that be in church service or in serving you in whatever field or profession we might work in. Lord, we pray that those who study at Ridley and places like this will use their understanding and their training to speak into those contexts in which they live and work and minister. And especially in this post-Christian world, to find ways to communicate the gospel, new ways to communicate the gospel, and to be able to share your good news in their contexts. We recognise, Lord, from not only the stories in the Bible, but the stories from our current time and the people we know, that sometimes there are consequences for speaking out for you in the workplace. And so we ask that you will give those who do so the strength that they need, the courage that they need to speak out, the perseverance to endure even if they are treated badly, and the confidence and faith to hang on to you and remain faithful, whatever the circumstances. Lord, we pray that each of us will be engaged with the world around us, in our neighbourhoods, in our communities, in seeking justice, in bringing truth and justice in whatever ways we can. And Lord, I pray also for those who are leading churches, that they will encourage people in their congregations, in their ministries, in their workplaces, and all the places in which they minister and work, that church leaders will be supportive and encouraging of those who work for you outside the church. We want to bring now before you all these many prayers, knowing that you hear us, and thankful for this time that we've had together, thankful for the goodness that you've shown to each one of us, and rejoicing in your greatness and your salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amber, What do you think of Launch Camp?
It's great.
Why is it great?
Because it is.
What's something that you've enjoyed about being here?
My friends.
Who are your friends?
Sajita and Zoe. Awesome.
Did you win any games last night?
I won Dungeon Mayhem with Sajita, Zoe. Oh no, not Zoe. Sajita, Jesse, Scott and Andrew.
And which character were you playing with?
Blorp.
Thank you for listening to the Ridley College podcast, brought to you by Ridley College. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and liking our podcast. Also, be sure to check out our Ridley Chapel Sermons podcast through the link in our podcast description. This podcast is made possible through the generous donations of our alumni and supporters. We welcome your partnership with us in our mission of equipping men and women for God's mission in our rapidly changing and increasingly complex world. If you'd like to contribute to our work, you can donate via the link in the description below.